And it's not that anything is wrong with the ministry. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that very humbly. But the reality was, how many of you know that the biggest church that the Apostle Paul himself pastored was about 60? And the reason for this was simply for what Jesus said. These are hard sayings. Everybody can't take what's being said. So don't you be misled, because when you see a church pushing 1,000 or a church pushing 1,500, praise God. We bless the Lord for that. If your kingdom, you want that to be the most legitimate church on the planet. You understand what I'm saying to you? We want thousands of people going to churches all over the world that are preaching Christ crucified. But please believe me, beloved, number has nothing to do with the actual health of the church. Because you could have 1,000 people in a building and 800 of them people be sin sick and 200 of them people be bougie because they don't do the sins that they see committed next to them. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. So I don't knock big church. In fact, I decree and declare we're going to be a very big church in numbers one day. But this will not happen overnight. This is systematic. This is a Holy Ghost. This is a Holy Ghost adding. In fact, in the book of Acts, they said that when they came together and they were all on one accord, you understand what I'm saying to you? The church began to be added to daily. I don't believe that we're going to be just you come and join the church on a Sunday. I believe that you're going to call me on Wednesday and be like, you know what? I don't need the serenade. I don't need the hugging. I don't need all of that. But just put me down on the row. I'm a part of the kingdom. I'm a part of this ministry. Amen. Listen. I want you to watch when people come and join the church and then people come and get saved at the church, then join the church, and then you don't see them. It's no slight to them. That's why we warn. You think that I don't have nothing else to say every Sunday, but I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not because they didn't mean it. It's not because they don't want to be here. But many are not equipped in that moment to take on the warfare that's going to come at the cost for joining a ministry that's going to preach Christ crucified regardless of who's here and who ain't. It's a warfare. Sister Danny and her niece joined the church last week. You saw it. The niece actually joined the praise team through the week. And then the next thing you know, Danny has to be rushed to the hospital and is still in the hospital right now. I want you to understand that we deal with an enemy that says, before I let you get to the place of breakthrough, I will do everything I can to break you. But I don't know about you. I'm so glad that I serve a God that says the weapons will form. Lord have mercy. But they shall not prosper. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want you to understand this, because if you don't understand it, what we walk into the building and then we say every week is, I don't know if I'm going to keep coming here because I don't look like it's growing. Don't you worry about the numbers growing. Ask yourself, are you growing in your spirit? Yes, sir. Is your children better because they're in children's church? Are your youth better because they're in youth church? Those are the questions that you ask. And I, without a shadow of a doubt, ain't worried about the answers to any of those. It's a community. How am I sick of the ocean? It's a community. And guess what? Not everybody is allowed in the community. And we've lied and we've made people feel some type of way for years. And we've said this uneducatingly. We've said stuff like everybody's supposed to be in the church. No, baby, everybody ain't supposed to be in the church. I know that's the last thing that you expect for a pastor to say, but the reality is Jesus wasn't bored when he made hell. He made hell because there's going to be a group of people that's going there, and it's not that he sends them there. Nobody sends you to hell. You only go to hell voluntarily. God never sends people to hell. You only go there voluntarily. So I want you to understand. We are right where we're supposed to be. And when you begin to receive that and understand that, then the pressure of big church, small church, all that just flies off of you, because the reality is, as long as we're teaching the word of God, that's all we are expected to do. So when you see people that join or, you know, come down and they give their life to Jesus and they join the ministry and you don't see them again, don't be like, see, yes, that's what I'm talking about. No, no, no. Beloved, they are in a warfare. They are in a warfare. And the problem is they don't even know it's war. They just say something like, I just don't feel like going today. But it ain't that. I promise you. You felt like going for three Sundays in a row. What would happen on the fourth Sunday that all of a sudden you just don't feel like going? You understand? The night before was crazy. You was all over the place, had so many things popping off in your family, and then come Sunday morning, I just can't do it. Not understanding that the warfare the night before was on the strength of the next day that you didn't make it into the house of the Lord. We've got to stop talking about folk when we don't see them no more and start praying for them. I don't even know their names, but they sat right here. She sat right there. He sat over here, and they had on a yellow shirt. And God, I'm just asking you, God is so wise. He knows just who you're talking about, and he'll begin to bestow angels on the strength of your prayer in the direction of those that's being warred against. Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't be worried about why they didn't show up. What you should be praying about is that they show back up. Today I want to talk to you from the topic of community. It's our sermon series through the month, and this is the last edition. An apostle didn't just bring a water. He brought a cold water. Amen. I don't know where he found that at. Do I got them in my refrigerator? I don't. I do? Well, look at the Lord. I don't know when that happened, but I'll take it. Amen. So all month we've been dealing with the sermon series entitled Community, and we talked about what the word community means. And before I go any further, let me just say, if you was in Sunday school this morning, Risen Life, it was fire. Amen. I just sat back there. I quit trying to keep up with the scriptures. I just put my phone down and just said, I'm just going to listen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so we want to bless God, and we encourage everyone to come out to Sunday school and Bible study, because I personally believe those are the coldest ministries that be happening. Amen. So all month we've been dealing with this sermon series entitled Community, and we talked about what the word community means. And the definition of community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interest, and goals. Y'all remember that? And we dealt with the same attitude or mindset that every Christian should have, and that is an attitude and a mindset of Christ. In fact, the Bible supports this in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, if we look at the same verse in the New Living Translation, it connects even more with our definition of community. For it says, excuse me, you must have the same what? Attitude that Christ Jesus had. Some of you know that there is an 8 times out of 10 chance that you're going to hear Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 every Sunday out of Pastor Stephen Lyons. I don't care what I'm preaching about. You probably know it's a good chance you're going to hear it. And the reason why is because it's so very important. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that when you finally decide that you're going to take on the mind of Christ Jesus, there is no more loss in your life. And the only things that you do lose is the things that wasn't supposed to be connected to you in the first place. Now, in the New King James Version, it says, let this mind be in you. So what's the most important word? Let. That's the work we got to put in. Let. And it just seems really easy. You understand what I'm saying to you. But I promise you, if it was as easy as it seems, we'd have the place would be packed out. Let. In other words, you have to let. You have to sit back and say, away with the way that I think and on forward with the way that Christ thinks. How I look at things no longer matters. How Christ looks at things is the only way I should see things. Let. But you have to let this mind be in you. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is not going to press you. He's not going to push his way in. He's not going to kick in the door. He's not going to do all of those things. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is a relationship. And in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? You remember when everybody was courting at one time or another, you know, before, you know, all and you had to let yourself be courted. Amen. This men, we would do everything we had to do, you know, trying to prove our love. You understand what I'm saying to you? And none of it mattered until she let you prove your love for her. You understand what I'm saying to you? So in the New Living Translation, it says, you must, I want you to underscore that word, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus has. Now, let me tell you why I believe that when they begin to do the translation of this, you must have, because how many of you understand that this walk with Christ ain't easy? It's not easy. And the only way that you're going to be able to walk this walk with Christ is that you must have the same attitude that he had. If you are trying to walk out this walk with your mentality, your natural mind, your fleshly thinking, you're going to fail every time. So you must. And this is the thing that the enemy keeps from the believer. This is why I constantly teach the same things over and over again, is so that you pick up on it, you grab it, and you begin to operate through it. You understand? Then we see victory. Victory is not 300 people in this building. Victory is the people that's in this building right now that come every Sunday, actually transform their lives from where they were to where he is. That is victory in the earth realm. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we must, if we don't have the attitude of Christ, and Satan don't want you to know this, if as long as you think about everything else and just go to church, as long as you still watching porn and still go to church, as long as you still get high and get drunk and still go to church, that's going to be about the depth of your spirituality. You understand what I'm saying to you? But this thing that you have to have this attitude of Christ. So everything that you do, you have to ask yourself, is this something of Christ? Is this something Christ would approve of? Is this something that's going to bring the Father joy? Is this right in the eyes of God? And if it's not, then guess what? You're not operating in the mind of Christ. You're still operating in the mind of you. Now, if you smoke and drink, don't run off, don't not come back. Keep coming back, because we got to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't change gears overnight, but we do begin to take steps. You understand what I'm saying? But it is critical that we begin to understand the mind of Christ so that we know how to operate before Christ. Amen? And so remember, you know, it says in the New Living Translation, you must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Remember, community means a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And when you really think about it, once you have the mind or the attitude of Christ, your interests and goals will align with the attitude of Christ. Amen? And though I've been making a big deal about community all month long, there still may be some of us in here who are thinking, what's the big deal about community? And I would like to share some reasons that I feel makes it a big deal, that maybe will explain why I'm making it a big deal. As Christians, we are called to community. We are called to a life together. We cannot fulfill our purpose as believers in isolation from others. How many of you have ever had something go down in your life and the first thing you did was isolated yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like something tough might have happened, rough might have happened, crazy might have happened, and all of a sudden, you know how you do, you put your phone on DND, you block everything, you deactivate all social media, you stay home. You don't come to church no more, you stay home because you, for some reason, you feel like being alone is going to make it better. And sometimes you just say, I ain't going to church today, I just don't feel like hearing that. Well, that's when exactly you need to be hearing it. How many of you understand, as an athlete, some of the greatest workouts that you will ever have is the ones that you didn't want to do? The days when you wasn't going to go to the gym, you figured out that was the best workout. I'm so glad I came. And that is the same way with church. Anytime that the enemy is playing with your head, and anytime that you got a thought in your head that I'm not going to church, I promise you the enemy is playing with your head. He is trying to keep you from something that you possibly are going to gain by coming. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, when you're alone, what you do? You don't change your clothes, don't bathe for a week. You know, anybody ever dealt with an old broke heart and you just, you know, didn't brush your teeth? Just, you know, say came to work, you just put your hair in a bun or a pick or whatever y'all do. You know, and you know, us men, we just, you know, we just there. You know, and you get low. You don't come to the church. You just stay away from the church and woe is me. But if you came to the church, somebody might have a word for you. Amen. We know you ain't gonna get no word in that room, but there may be a word for you in the house of the Lord. There may be encouragement in the word of the Lord. We are called to do life together. We cannot fulfill our purpose as believers in isolation from others. This morning, I would like to look at three reasons from the Bible why we are called to community. One, we need each other. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you something right there with that answer. I heard one amen. I said, one, we need each other. Amen. And I heard, now you said, because you know I'm going to get on you. But the first time was the realest time. Because there's something about it in our flesh that goes, I don't need nobody. I'm grown. Huh? Yeah. And then when you do need somebody, it makes you hard to call. Why? Because you think that the mindset you take on that you don't need nobody, that ain't nobody there to help you or to be there for you. It wasn't by accident when I first said we need each other. Amen. And I only heard like one. There might have been more, but I only heard one. But it wasn't by accident because we really feel like we can do this on our own. And that's one of the biggest problems we have. Amen. The first reason... The first reason that we are called to community is a simple one. We need each other. We are all sinful people living in a sinful world with constant trials and temptations, and we are kidding ourselves if we think that we can make it in the Christian life without each other's love and support. How many of you remember a couple of weeks ago we were back there in the back and we were eating? We were all eating. It was a church anniversary and we were eating. How many of you remember that? Didn't it feel good? And you walked away going, I needed that. That was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That was nice. We ought to do that more often. You see what I'm saying to you? That alone is verbiage saying we need each other. You understand what I'm saying to you? It was love there that day. It was support there that day. You understand? And we need each other, first of all, to encourage each other in this battle against sin. So I got a two-lady crew here in the church. They are Titus sisters. Y'all know who I'm going to say. Look, Miko's just getting herself ready. Tiana and Miko, they are two live crew, right, in a good way, amen? And so I always watch them deeply because they are always together. They got each other's back. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so what I'm looking for, and I'm starting to see it, is the spiritual maturity when if one of them wants to go left, the other one goes, that ain't right. You see what I'm saying to you? See, I'm purposely, and Tiana, you know, I just avalanche her with texts and stuff, and I know she's, what is this guy doing texting me so much? Because the Lord has need of you. And Miko, you understand what I'm saying to you? And so watch this. When it gets hard, when it gets crazy, when one of them's ready to give up, they've got the other one to call on and say, and know that that one's going to say, come on, let's pray. You understand what I'm saying to you? They might not be on the prayer team. They might not be considered prayer warriors, but they have a heart for God. They trust God enough to say, hey, this is bigger than me. I ain't got no real good advice for this, but let's just pray. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this situation and watch him work it out. So we need to be able to encourage one another. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, the Bible says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Okay? Get 13, though, verse 13. But encourage who? One another. Daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Listen, and this is powerful. Look at 13. But encourage one another daily. Truth be told, real community, and I am praying the day for it, when I find out that all y'all text each other a Bible verse. All y'all text each other some type of encouragement. All of y'all, you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, before you turn to people outside of the blood of the Lamb, when hell is popping off in your life, that you actually turn to the people that share the blood of the Lamb in the same local house as you. This is growing. This is community. You see what I'm saying to you? And I promise you, if you want to see the signs, the miracles and wonders, if you want to see all the greatness that God has for you, if you want to see all the awesome majesty that he's adoring towards your name, I promise you, all you got to do is start operating in community. You will never see it. I mean, you can be blessed in isolation, but it's something about being blessed amongst the believers, because then I can encourage you from where I come from. Hey, I was dealing with that, but the Lord said, I went through that when one day God did. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's something about being together. And he says this, encourage one another daily. Daily. This is why the men in our church do a phone thread. Amen. And I'm going to just go ahead and say it. We ain't that good at it. Amen. In fact, if we depended on the phone thread, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, man? We'd be in trouble. Yeah. We'd be in trouble. And the Bible says we are to encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today. You see, none of us, and it gets what it says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So if we start the day out encouraging one another to walk in the Lord, right? You should have already come out of devotion. You should have already come out of your prayer life. I don't care if you got to be at work at 5:30, wake up at 3. This is about God. This is about him saving your soul. This is about him keeping you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anything else that's important to us, we make time for it, right? So if I need to do devotions, and it trips me out when people want to go to work and go read the Bible for the first time on lunch. Hell done already happened. Now you ain't ready. You ain't reading to get ready for the day. Now you're reading not to lose your job because you're ready to go act crazy, right? So you start your day off with devotion, in the word of God, in prayer. And then the next text that you receive, you know what I'm saying, is one of your brothers or sisters in Christ shooting you scripture or shooting you more encouragement. Encourage, man, you are strong by then. You are ready for the day. Because not only are you walking this walk, you know that you got some people that you're connected to that's walking the same walk with you. Hell is hitting their life and they are operating just like you through the word of God. That's why you got to be careful about who you let put cables on you. You see? So something could pop off, and you got the wrong crowd around you. They're talking about, I'd have slapped them. You better, I'd have cussed them straight out. I sure would. And you got to be careful about that, because that's, and you said you're trying, I'm holy. Ooh, I should cuss them out. I'm holy. Ooh, oh, I should give them the business. But then you got some people on this side of it that sit back and say, don't even get caught up in that. We need to keep them in prayer. We need to pray harder for them. Come on, step away from that. It don't make you weak because you walk away. It don't make get up out your pride right now. Come on, sis. Come on, bro. You operating in some pride right now. Come on, away from that. You're going to teach them more by saying nothing than you would by saying something. You see? So did you get that? I want you to catch this. In verse number 12, it explains sin. And it says that sin is what? Deceitful. Whew. Sin is deceitful. You ever did something wrong with the intention to get right out of it? And then after you did that wrong, it equaled in you got played. You played yourself. And maybe some of you are sitting here and going, now I done some wrong and I ain't never, you know, it ain't never come back to bite me. Well, there's a day. There is a day. You see what I'm saying to you? It says sin is deceitful. Sin never comes right out and advertises itself or, you know, its consequences. It never says, hey, I'm sexy, but you're going to go to hell. Hey, it make you feel good, but you're going to lose your soul. Can I talk to the ladies for a minute? It never says stuff like, I know my body's dope, but I'm going to jack up your credit. It never says that. And in fact, it makes, and sin never is something that you don't want. Do you know that all of us in here are different people, and the way Satan attacks us is kind of the same, but it's really different? See, because what might get you might not get me. But what might get me might not get you. So what you got to be focused on is not everybody else's business. You got to be focused on that thing you know that can get you. So that when you see it, when it comes into your and when it comes into your view, you can recognize what it is. Oh no, that's connected to my flesh. That's connected to my weakness. I know. No, God ain't sent that. Oh, that's rough. Yeah, y'all awful quiet with them. Preach on, Pastor. Just go to the next part. Sin never comes right out and advertises itself or its consequences. Sin, get this, y'all. It sneaks into our lives unaware. And it takes us down slowly, one heart decision at a time. Now, we know that the heart translates in Greek and Hebrew to mean what? The mind. That's right. Chantal, that's right. The mind. So let's read it like this. So let me say it like this. It sin sneaks into our lives unaware and takes us down slowly, one mind decision at a time. Theologian Watchman Nee once said, Satan doesn't come and gobble you all up at once. He just takes a part of you day by day. But the cumulative effect of all those decisions can be deadly. It's like a hardening of the arteries. It doesn't happen all at once. It takes place over a period of time and often in places unseen. But the damage is building. The danger is real. And all of a sudden, you find your heart hardened towards God. Now, church ain't important at all. Anybody ever knew somebody that was on fire for God? And then just one incident, one situation, one person walked into their lives, and then all of a sudden you've seen that fire kind of die down. It wasn't as strong as it was. And it wasn't, because people come in your life and say stuff like, no, go to church. Oh, I like that you go to church. I mean, I ain't going, but I'm glad that you do. I mean, I believe in God. I just don't believe that you got to go to church because you believe in God. But that's your thing. You go ahead and go to church. Then you come to church. Oh, God, I'm teaching in here today. And you're sitting in church. But the problem is you got some sin that you're connected to at the crib. And I'm really hoping church is over soon because I'm trying to get back to, but I'm going to praise the Lord while I'm here. But I'm my mind, what does that singer say? Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. Amen. And you know, he's a good man. She's a good girl. She told me to go to church. They just don't go to church themselves. Then the third Sunday come. Mm-hmm. Won't you just, you know, they get ready, boomerang getting ready, come on. They ain't showed that in a minute. You know, let's just lay back and chill, cook some popcorn, you know, just take the Sunday off. The Lord gonna understand. We can pray or whatever. 7 Sundays done passed by. We ain't seen you. And that joker ain't even around. Because now Satan is beating us up with shame. You was doing so good, and then all of a sudden you let your temptation come in here and change the game on you. Ain't no use in you going to church. They're going to look at you funny. Ain't no use you going to church because people going to be like, oh, I guess you ain't with him no more or her no more. And we sit back and we don't go to church. All right. How do you guard against this gradual hardening of your heart? By the daily encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at Hebrews 3 and 13 again. It says, encourage one another daily. Man, it is critical daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It sounds like responsibility, doesn't it? I have got to encourage my brothers and sisters daily. So let's take let's bring Satan's potential drama out of all of that. So the sisters are going to text the sisters, and the brothers are going to text the brothers daily. Well, we don't need to be y'all, you know, you don't need to be running across. How about, what's your number so I can text you? Let's just keep it safe, amen. The women text the women, and the men text the men, amen. Because you got to watch out. You got to watch out for that, see? See, let me just show you how petty this gets. Oh, God, I'm telling you, man, one day they're going to have me in a global setting preaching church ethics. I'm telling you. Because what the enemy does is like, so Sonia says, hey, Brother Steve. That's Brother Steve. Brother Steve, let me get your number because I want to pray for you. Sis, what you going to say?
Why she got to have your number to pray for you?
And Pastor Sonia could really want to pray for Steve. But now, old girls, Steve's wife is an enemy. Huh?
And he destroys the body. It's the small foxes that destroy the vine.
Secondly, we need each other to pick each other up when we fall. It's great when we can encourage one another and to help keep each other away from sin. But there are times when we do fall into sin, and sometimes we fall hard. Amen? And these are times when we really need a Christian brother or sister to come alongside us and help. In fact, Paul writes in his letter to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When someone is caught in sin, we are called to come alongside them and restore them gently. It ain't for you to sit back and be like, see, this is what I'm talking about. I keep on trying to tell you you're stupid and whoop, whoop, whoop. No, that's not going to help nobody. It says that when you see someone, your brother or sister in Christ that is fallen in sin, that you ought to restore them gently. But watch this. It says, but watch yourselves. See, that's why I don't, you know, if you are a recovering alcoholic, right, you might not be the one to walk into the crib of somebody that's drinking and say, listen, this is messing with your job. This is messing with your children. This is messing with your church life. This is messing with your walk with God. See, you got to be careful because they might have on the table what used to be your taste. You see what I'm saying? So when you got somebody that's in that situation, it's best to take somebody with you. If you got to go, take somebody with you so that they can be there for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, after you get done witnessing to them and you get the bottle away from them and you get that stuff poured out and all of that, you dig? And then when you get out the door, y'all get into the car, then who came with you needs to pray for you. Because see, Satan was, don't you think just because you poured it out that the temptation is over. The temptation was meant for you too. Ooh, Lord. Them getting hemmed up was meant for you to come by so that it could take you out too. You ever went over somebody's house and just said, look, I just came over here to chill, and then they all of a sudden, but they was drinking, and then they offered you a drink, and you ain't, well, I'm here. Yeah, say don't worry about you coming to help nobody out. Because he's figuring out, it's a good shot I can get you. I can get you too. This is why we gotta be prayed up. We gotta be so the situation is drinking. Oh, I used to drink. I used to like to drink. Let me take somebody with me. If that was my thing, you see what I'm saying? Let me take somebody with me that's going to gently help restore this person, and I don't have to compromise my Christianity. You see? That word restore is a word that is used for mending a broken bone. A broken bone takes time to heal, and sometimes it takes time to help a person who has fallen in sin, right? It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of grace, determination, and patience.
You know, somebody that has really fallen in sin, that was actually walking with Christ, that has fallen in sin. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't no easy thing. You don't just be like, oh, I prayed a prayer of forgiveness, and I'm good. I'm ready to go. It ain't that easy if your love for God was strong in the first place. There's some things you go through when you fall into sin. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, some of y'all getting quiet now because you think that if you say amen loud, then that's going to let me know that you fell into sin. Let me tell you something. There ain't a person in here done walked the perfect life of Christ. Your sin might not be the one sitting next to you. Oh, but you done went a route that was not of God before. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, we are perfecting our walk daily so that we can one day say, I just don't, you know what I'm saying? But it takes love and grace and determination and patience. And no wonder Paul says, you who are spiritual, don't just anybody need to go to the one that's fallen. Because you send the wrong one and you'll find yourself deeper in what you failed in the first place. So it takes someone that is spiritual, not religious. Religious folk will beat you to death, amen? They'll beat you into another drink. But it takes someone that is spiritual. It also takes humility, knowing that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I might be right here right now. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm not coming over here thinking I'm all that because I speak in tongues and I got a title in the church and I read every day and pray every night. I'm not coming over here acting like, you know, I'm all that. No. I'm coming with an understanding that if it wasn't for God's grace, man, I might not be able to come over here at all. I might have been with you when it all went down. But I bless God that by his grace, by his mercy, I've been able to overcome the things that were once overcoming me. So we don't walk in with our nose turned up. I can't believe you. Yes, you can. God said he couldn't believe you one day. Women, you remember that day I made that word up, Christ needs you, at the old church? That's when you get saved and then you forget about how jacked up you used to be. Now everything is, I can't believe that. Why can't you? I can't believe she's messing with him. I can't believe you was messing with what you call her. Now you got the right one. Now you laughing at everybody. You judging everybody that's still trying it out. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, you wasn't like, yeah, you wanted some grace when you was, yeah. You wanted some grace. Amen. Grace, Lord. This is why Paul says, watch yourself or you may be tempted also. Remember, you got to go in a situation sometimes helping the believer out, remembering if it wasn't for him on my side. Do you remember the old TV commercials for the Life Call product? You know, the woman who had fallen down and would cry out, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, as Christians, we need to be on Life Call for each other. We need to exhibit the kind of mercy and grace for each other that gives us the confidence that when we fall into sin, to call out, not to stay in it in embarrassment, not to stay in it in shame, not to stay in it in fear of what people gonna say when they find out. You understand what I'm saying to you? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. We need to carry each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Now, let me make this very clear. You got to be trustworthy. Now, I'm talking to you. You know, some of y'all. No, you. Every one of us in here have to be trustworthy. Why? Because one day one of us might call the other one and say some stuff that can't get out. This can't go no further than me, you, in heaven. This could destroy my marriage. This could destroy my ministry. This could destroy my job. And we've got to be there. See, and that's the problem in the church, is that we sit back and we talk about we love one another, but we love folk we don't trust. Uh, Willie and I work together. And Willie ought to be able to come downstairs and say, hey, Pastor, I need to rap to you about something. And this is what we say, though, as Christians. Now, y'all tell me if I'm lying. Hey, I need to tell you something, but this stays between me and you. Do you know what that's at part? This stays between me and you. That's distrust. That's mistrust. I don't really trust you, so I'm going to say this so that if you go and tell somebody, I got a right to have a problem with you because I'm telling you up front, this is between me and you. Willie should be able to come down to me and say, hey, Pastor, can I rap to you for a minute? Yeah, here's what's going on. And then walk off. Either we pray, we talk, or whatever, and he should be able to walk off. And he's the furthest thing from his mind is, hey, and don't tell nobody. That's between me and you, okay? What you're really saying is, I don't know if I can really trust you, so I'm going to need you to keep this to yourself. You see what I'm saying? The love of us should be so deep, like this room. Look around this room, everybody. Look around the room. Y'all look at each other real quick. Go ahead. No, don't forget people in the back. Look at each other. You should be able to talk to each one of us. Each one of us should be able to talk to each other, man to man, woman to woman, lest thou be deceived. Man to man, woman to woman, we should be able to rap to one another about whatever we're going through and find encouragement in our brother and sister and not be worried about it going somewhere. Now, we should be. You're right, Minister, we should be. But how many of you in here, tell the truth and shame the devil, would, and raise your hand if this is you, you would tell anybody in here of the same sex something that you was going through that was super personal? No. Everybody. Not just First Lady. Not just Sonia. Not just Glenda. Everybody. But how many of you know we should be able to? We should be able to. So what's the problem? We need to put in some more work. We need to know, we need to be allowing the Bible to transform our way of thinking. And when we sit around, and let me tell you something, a studier knows a studier. A child of God knows a child of God. You see what I'm saying? So maybe the prayer ain't, God, give me the ability to make everybody else trustworthy. Maybe the prayer should be, Lord, make me trustworthy. So that my brothers and sisters can confide in me. Make me trustworthy. Let them know that I am trustworthy. And then when they try you out, be trustworthy. Amen? Everything people tell you, y'all ain't supposed to come back and tell me. That's why many of you try to tell me something, I'd be like, no, I'm cool. Pastor, you just really, no. If I'm supposed to know that, that'll come to me. You see what I'm saying? That's between y'all. They trusted you. They didn't trust Pastor with that. I'm not offended. But stay in your lane with it. That's your confidentiality at risk. You see. And thirdly, we need each other to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It is not enough that we encourage others against sin and pick each other up when we fall. We should also be positively encouraging each other towards good works. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. We don't give up coming to church, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It is easy to get lazy in the Christian life. It is easy to forget our responsibilities towards those around us. What's the responsibilities? Hey, let's just shoot a text to one another. Hey, let's just call and check on somebody. I know you're busy. I just wanted to hear your voice. Make sure you're all right, man. Man, I'm cool, man. Hey, I appreciate that, dog. All right, peace. But Christian fellowship helps us to keep our focus as we continually challenge each other from God's word to reach out in love to others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, he's one of my favorite theologians, he's cold-blooded. He wrote in his book, Life Together, it says, the Christian needs one another
Christian, the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged, for by himself he cannot help himself. See, that means that you every now and again I'm going to need more than, man, it's going to be all right. Man, God got it. Let me tell you something. That is a cop-out. Oftentimes when people say, don't worry about it. I'm going to pray for you. No, come here and pray for me. How many times we done told people I'm going to pray for you and walk off? And they are broken. No, I know we're right here in the middle of Walmart, but I'm going to pray for you right here. You might not make it to my prayer makes it to heaven. No, let's pray right now. And give me your number. Give me your number, because I need to make sure you're all right. You see what I'm saying? He says the Christian needs another Christian. So what am I saying? Don't just keep telling me it's going to be all right. Give me some word. The word encourages me. Give me some word. Remind me of what God said. I know you're close to Jesus, and I know if you say you're going to pray for me, it's probably going straight through the roof. I get it, but right now I don't need your, that's going to be okay. I need your word. I need God's word from you. Amen? As Christians, we are family, and the Bible speaks of us as the family of believers. We belong to each other now. This is part two, that we belong to each other. I'm almost done, I promise. As Christians, we are family. The Bible speaks of us as the family of believers. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, therefore, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all people. You hear that? Not just the ones we like. To all people. We jump over that, didn't we? All people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. So the last one, hating, that should be hating on us, is us. You ought to walk in here, and I think that it's happening, it's starting to happen, and you feel a peace, like, oh, I'm in God's house. You look around, you see people that you see every Sunday, it's starting to feel, it feels good. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I'm around my family. I'm around the family of believers. And let me tell you something, there is no blood stronger than the blood of Christ. Huh? I lost family members on that. No. The blood of Christ is the strongest of blood. You see what I'm saying to you? That family over everything don't rock with me. So get this. When you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are adopted into God's family. You become a son or daughter of God. That means other believers are your brothers and sisters in Christ, even the ones you don't like. One of the most common designations for believers you will find in the New Testament is the word brother. That is because we have been brought into the family of God, and we should love each other with a family love. Of course, the family of God is pretty big. It's worldwide. So how do we practically go about doing that? We do it through the church. Every believer needs to be involved in a local church where they can grow in loving relationships with other believers. John Stott writes in his book called Basic Christianity, the Christian life is not just our own private affair. If we have been born again into God's family, not only has he become our father, but every Christian believer in the world, whatever his nation or denomination, has become our brother or sister in Christ. But it is no good supposing that membership of a universal church of Christ is enough. We must belong to some local branch of it. Every Christian's place is in the local church, sharing in its worship, its fellowship, its witness. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you being here on Sundays, you are fulfilling your part of where you're supposed to be. You understand? Not only are we family, we are also the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Why does he have so many scriptures? Because I'm allowing scripture to back up what I'm saying. If I'm just saying it, it don't really matter much. But when I show you that the word is where I got it from, now all of a sudden it's got some weight to it. You see what I'm saying?
The point Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 12 is that just as the different members of our human bodies all have different functions, so we all have different functions in the body of Christ. But just because we are different from each other doesn't mean that we are not one body. Christ is the head of the body. We all belong to Christ. Therefore, we are the body. We belong to the body of Christ. Every member of the body belongs to all the others. So Shantana sings, Wilma prays, they belong to each other. You see what I'm saying to you? Well, you're sitting there, you might say, well, I don't have any ministry. I'm not a part of a ministry in the church. You belong to everybody in the church because you are a part of the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 takes this concept even deeper. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 5, the apostle writes, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ are many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Not only do we all belong to the body of Christ, but each member belongs to each member. We all belong to each other. Ain't nobody gonna tell me I don't belong to nobody up in here. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's the word. And I promise you, it's these little things that we say, stuff like, you know, I don't belong to nobody. Or that ain't my business. I promise you, it is the wall that stands between you and where you're supposed to be. We gotta stop this. And it's all conditioning. That thought process, that jacked up thought process is just all conditioning that we have to do away with, amen? Because we have to have what? The attitude of who? All right. That's the way it works. That's the way it works in the human body, doesn't it? All the parts of the body work together in advance to advance the health of the whole body, not just, you know, the individual parts. All of the parts have a sense of obligation to each other because they are all a part of the same body. In the same way, we belong to each other in the body of Christ. Each member belongs to all the others, and we should be working together to advance the health of the whole body, not just our individual interest. Thirdly, why are we called to community as believers? One, we need each other. Two, we belong to each other. And three, we are called to bear witness to Christ. Amen? Part of the big picture of the Bible is that God is building for himself a people. God is not just interested in individuals. Of course, he cares about each one of us individually, but he also cares about us as people. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, speaks of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So not only are we supposed to do good, we're supposed to be eager to do good. I can't wait to do the right thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? Jesus came to redeem a people for himself, a community of people who would glorify him in their lives and relationships with each other. The closing chapters of the book of Revelations put the finishing touches on this big picture where we read in Revelations chapter 21, verse number 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is what God has desired all along. It's why he created man and woman with the ability to reproduce. God wasn't just looking for a friend when he created man. If so, he would have just stopped with Adam. He was interested in building a people. We see this in the New Testament with Jesus, because when Jesus came, he did not come to just die for individuals. Jesus died for the church. When we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Through the word, that's how you get cleansed. Through the washing of the word. Okay? and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The church is the bride of Christ, and Jesus died for the church to make her holy and radiant and pure. You are the church. We're not talking about this building that rounds us. I'm talking about you. He gave himself for each and every one of you to make you holy and radiant and pure. And when we live in community as believers, encouraging one another in the battle against sin, spurring on one another, on toward love and good deeds, we function in as the light of the world, as a city on a hill, as a testimony to Jesus Christ who died to make us holy. Not only that, but our unity as believers testifies to the world that God sent Jesus. Listen to these words Jesus prayed in the book of John 17, verses 20 through 21. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When the world sees believers truly loving and caring for each other in the Christian community, they will stand up and take notice. And they will believe that God sent his son into the world and that his name is Jesus. In conclusion, check this out. It's been said that we suffer from a lack of community in the 21st century westernized church. Part of this is because people move around a lot. We change in jobs, homes, and neighborhoods far more frequently than we used to in the past. You know, the seasoned saints, they stayed in a spot. So the church stayed full. It stayed plentiful. The breakdown of the family also contributes to the lack of community. But it is more than just that. We are designed to be a part of God's people. God offers us true community through the church that we cannot find anywhere else. When I come to realize that Christ is in you and that you realize that Christ is in me, my eyes are open to the possibilities of Christian community in a whole new way. See, y'all might come in here every day, every Sunday, and see it like this, right? But I see it so much different. I see, you know, I sat at home with dreams and thoughts. And some of, you know, back in the day, I used to be on our Facebook page a whole lot. And I, you know, and y'all knew because I'm a dreamer. And I'd be dreaming on there. And two people would comment or two people would hit the like button. And I'd be like, I believe in this church. And I come on there and I put on her this word that's going to encourage you and it's going to bring us closer. And nobody pays it any attention. I'm like, they all going to hell. Because I love you and I want to see it for you. I want to see that you have 40, 50 other people that you can turn to and say this or that and actually get a healing from the word of God, from who you disclose what you're going through it with. I want to see that for you. That will make me happy for you. I know you'll be in better shape like that. You see what I'm saying? So when I realize that Christ is in you and you see Christ is in me, I get excited about the possibilities of Christian community in a whole new way. And all of a sudden, church and small groups take on a whole new meaning. All of a sudden, I begin to understand why I'm called to community, why we are called to community. Because we need each other. Two, we belong to each other. And three, we were called to bear witness to Christ. Number one, we need each other. Two, we belong to each other. And three, we are called to bear witness to Christ. This is us as a community. Amen? So today, I want you to take this vow. It's nothing big, don't worry. That when you pray for your church. Not just the pastor, but pray for everyone connected to this ministry. Whatever they're going through, Lord, be with them. Whatever they need, Lord, provide.
Wherever they are hurting, Lord, please heal. Take time out from your prayer life, from praying for you and yours, and bring your church into it. Because they should actually be should be a part of the you and yours. That's what makes us, that's what makes us community. Amen? God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We had some fine words.